You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed, and this morning in the studio we have got Dr. Emma Nolan, who is a research fellow at the Auckland Cancer Society Research Centre and the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, Emma, how are you this morning?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me in the studio.
Oh, it's lovely to have you in here. We're talking about fighting breast cancer from a petri dish, which is the sort of, I guess, the elevator pitch about the research that you've been doing, which you're also going to be talking more about at Raising the Bar. But explain to us a wee bit, what is the focus of your research, Emma? What have you been looking into?
The main focus of my research is to try and grow breast cancer cells in a way that more readily resembles how they would grow in the patient. So the idea being that we go into hospitals around Auckland and we take samples from New Zealand women with breast cancer who have been recently diagnosed and donate their tumour sample to research. And we take that tumour sample back with us into the lab and we grow the cells in a way that really resembles how they would grow in the patient. So we provide them with a structural support, sort of like a scaffold that
right.
allows them to grow in three dimensions, and we provide them with nutrients that resemble the breast environment. And when we do this, we're essentially creating like avatars of that patient's tumour, so a mini tumour that really resembles that patient in many ways. So it's just a more advanced way of studying cancer in the lab that is more representative of a patient's cancer.
It feels very obvious to say that, of course, having a better thing to do your tests on means your data is going to be, in theory, much better. But what have you been previously, or what has been previously available to researchers to use that means this is a step up?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So there's, you know, for decades, cancer scientists have been growing cells in the lab, and most commonly their way to grow them is sort of in these two-dimensional layers, so growing cancer cells flat on plastic. And there's many reasons for that, because it's very cheap and easy to do and you can generate data very quickly. But of course, growing cells in two dimensions is not really relevant to patients. So it's only really recently in the last few years, and this really started overseas, particularly in the Netherlands, of really growing cells firstly directly from patients, you know, within a few hours of surgery. And then being able to kind of grow them in this three-dimensional way. And it's just because of an advancement of technology and also knowing what the right nutrients are to provide so that they grow in this way. So it's really, you know, New Zealand, this has kind of only taken off more recently, but we are becoming bigger players now in this field of growing these patient-derived cancer cells. So it really is because of a technological advancement.
That's awesome. And it must be, obviously, speed is kind of a part of this as well. If you've got someone going in for surgery, you're going to be able to get the cells then. And then does that mean you have to go straight into the lab? How does that process work?
Yes, so essentially the quicker we can get the cells growing in the lab, the better or more healthy that the cancer cells will be. So it is a bit of a time game there. And, you know, within a few hours, though, but so it does normally mean, you know, I'm at the hospital and I've got my ice bucket sort of ready to go outside, you know, and get in the car straight away and come back. So, but it does also make it feel very real to really kind of be there in the hospital, knowing the patient's in the operating room right then who's donated her sample and, you know, having spoken to her on the phone previously when she's consented to the study. And so it does make the research feel very real as opposed to sort of being kind of in the lab the whole time.
And so what do you then do once you've got you're growing your cells? What's the stuff that you're looking at, particularly when it comes to, outcomes eventually for patients as well?
So there's a few different angles of my research. One of them is really looking at the treatments that are available and so testing these treatments on these kind of more relevant models and seeing if the response of these models is reflecting in the same response that the patient would have. And that's the hope that this research maybe could be used to actually predict drug response in patients in the future.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And so then the second aspect as well is looking at how cancer cells interact with other types of cells. So adding in, for example, immune cells into these models as well and looking looking at those kind of cell-to-cell communication between other cells, because that can, you know, the way that cancer cells interact with cells like fat cells or immune cells can really have a big influence on how they behave. So we're also studying that.
And what sort of a team are you working with here? Is there just a few of you or is it quite a big team? What's the crew you've got?
So the majority of my research is so far being has been overseas. So I returned to New Zealand early last year after about 10 years in Australia and the UK. So it's a new group. I've just started a new, what I call the Translational Breast Cancer Group, but still working on the name.
But so
TBC. It's still, you know, we're building up the team. So there's about four of us at the moment of staff and students, and I'm really trying to kind of build and grow this team. But I'm lucky that, the university is a very collaborative environment. So there are other groups working on similar kind of models, but in other types of diseases. So it's sort of like a kind of collaborating, working together and sharing ideas as well. So it's also a collaborative project.
What are some of the challenges that you find with working with this way of modelling? Is there some stuff that must be, you know, when it's a little bit more complicated, it must be a little bit harder. What are some of those challenges you're overcoming?
Yes, so, I mean, of course, one of the big challenges is cost, because the nutrients and the factors we have to provide are very expensive, and that scaffold, that structures that we give the cells is expensive. So cost is a limitation there. And also probably time, because they take, you know, when you grow cells just, you know, flat on these 2D layers, they can grow very quickly and you can get data, you know, within a few days. Whereas to grow cells, you know, so that they form these mini tumours, that, you know, these are three-dimensional structures, they've got millions of cells, it takes a while for that to happen. So there's a bit of a lag in a few weeks that it actually takes us after surgery to grow these. So I think time as well. So we're really trying to quicken that process up, because, you know, if we want to actually use this in real time to be able to predict a patient's response,
totally,
we need that result quickly. So that's I'd say time and cost is a big limitation.
Well, it's fascinating research. Thanks for coming in to speak with us about it. If you're tuned in right now and this sounds like something you want to go find out a bit more about, you are speaking at Raising the Bar, which is happening on the 29th of August, and that's across 10 bars in Auckland. You're going to be at La Zeppa from 8 till 9 p.m. On Tuesday. Thank you so much for coming in, Emma. We'll put a link to registrations for Raising the Bar in the podcast after the show. Best of luck with the rest of your research.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.